This podcast is protected by copyright and not for broadcast. See rsn.net.au for more details.
Good morning, everyone, and welcome to Talking Horses. On this morning's show, we check in with Godolphin Australia Managing Director Vin Cox with all the latest from Australia's biggest racing and breeding operation. Plus, Victorian thoroughbred operation Riverbank Farm has two new additions to its stallion ranks. Boulder City, a half-brother to champion race mare Winx, and Caulfield Guineas winner Anne Achiever has also found a new home with Riverbank. More on that later. But first, let's catch up on the biggest news of the week. The announcement of the retirement of American Triple Crown winner, Justify. The major breeding news across the globe this week, the announcement of the retirement of the American Triple Crown winner, Justify, to stud. China Horse Club is one of the groups involved with the ownership of this champion racehorse, and Michael Wallace from China Horse Club is our guest this morning on Talking Horses. How are you, Michael?
Very well, Jeff.
Big news, but not surprising, as the horse has unfortunately had a problematic ankle.
Yeah, it's something we've been sort of monitoring for a couple of weeks, and the decision was ultimately basically taken out of our hands. He was simply going to have some time off, and just with the calendar and the race programming coming up, there was simply only one decision really.
It was hoped that perhaps he could contest at the Breeders' Cup Classic.
Yeah, absolutely. That was the main goal for sure. It would have been great to see him there, and perhaps that be a swan song. But we're at the end of July now, and that's an early November, and just the timing just sadly didn't allow it. So it was a short but sweet career, but it's just one of those things.
Of course, he was the 13th Triple Crown winner in US history. He amassed stakes earnings of $3.8 million. He won all six of his race starts. And his rider, Mike Smith, described him as a horse that was sent from heaven, Michael.
Yeah, he was a horse sent from somewhere, that's for sure. And, we're very lucky that, somehow he ended up crossing paths with our ownership group and our partners, so very very lucky to enjoy the ride with it, and I think as we look back on it, it'll be something to remember for many years to come.
I've no doubt, Michael. Can you explain a bit to our listeners the role that you and China Horse Club played in the journey of Justify?
When we first went to look to participate in the American market, we wanted to participate and buy some yearling colts. And everybody knows the risks associated with that. So we formed a partnership with Windstar Farm, one of the leading farms in America, and SF Bloodstock, who we'd had a business relationship with prior in Australia. So we set about buying some colts together. And this was our second year of doing it. And he was a horse that came up early in book one at Keeneland in September, in the first 50 lots. And we were lucky enough to buy him. He was a lovely horse, but he cost $500,000, so he wasn't cheap. And we bought probably a dozen others at the sale. So, he just turned out to be by far the best of them.
A freak of a racehorse and a very flashy type too, with his markings.
Yeah, big white face horse and a beautiful, big, strong, masculine horse. So he always caught the eye from day one. He stood out and he continued to stand out wherever he went, no matter sort of, even if you didn't know who he was early on in the days when you're standing under and watching him work with Bob, he was always the sort of horse that people would ask you, who's that? He caught your eye and he had a presence sort of about him that just stood out from the rest.
Michael, were you there for many of his wins?
Yeah, I was there for all the Triple Crown races. So, I was very lucky to experience that. All the ownership group pretty much watched the Santa Anita Derby down in Sydney when we were down there for the sales together. But to experience the Derby and the Preakness and be there on Belmont Day for the Triple Crown, was a very humble experience. You know, it was great to be there and experience that and the crowds, and you know, it was something to look back on and remember for sure.
It all probably still feels rather surreal, Michael.
Yeah, well, you know, he had 112 racing career, 6 starts, 4 Group 1s unbeaten, and a triple crown. But, you know, it was a very fast 112 days, that's for sure. You know, I don't know whether we've ever seen anything like it before or, you know, whether we'll see anything like it again. It's very unique, and it was over before we knew it, sadly. We were hoping that we were going to extend to the end of the year, but it's not meant to be. And you know, it was a great 112 days. And I guess, you know, rather than dwell on the unfortunate circumstances of being retired, it's, you know, probably more important for us to sort of look at the fun and the excitement and, you know, what he achieved in that period.
So now his future at stud. How will the breeding rights work?
Well, you know, at the moment he's still owned by his current owners, so that will be sorted out in time. Obviously, he's going to go back to Windstar Farm there in coming days, and you know, there's a procession of people lined up to come and see him. And you know, obviously, there's his breeding situation to be confirmed in coming months, which we'll do.
And he will come down under.
You know, I guess you know you've got to sort of get a Northern Hemisphere season, you know, under your belt and see how you adjust the life first and foremost in the breeding shed. You know, you've got to make sure that everything's signed up there before you start thinking about another hemisphere. So I guess that's the decision to be made on Southern Hemisphere, you know, into next year.
Well, it's certainly a very valuable prospect that he has become on the international breeding scene. Can't wait to see his eventual progeny on the ground and how much they might throw to him.
Yeah, I'd say, you know, if they look anything like him, they'll be, you know, sail ring stars. Hopefully we'll find out in time whether he's going to be a good stallion or not. But, you know, he's certainly got the looks and no doubt he had ability that very few have. So if he can throw it into his progeny, you know, it'll be an exciting sort of next 10, 15 years to watch that unfold.
No doubt. And, Michael, what's cooking on the home front for China Horse Club as we start to wind up towards the spring carnival?
Yeah, well, I guess we start off again with our new two-year-olds and see how we get on there. And we've got a couple of nice three-year-olds coming through with Peter Snowden. Probably used to pick out two. One, a filly would be a filly called Iowase, Sebring filly out of Curata Queen. Looks very exciting and has come back in great fashion. So I'm expecting big things for her in the spring. You know, and then we have a horse, you know, another colt with Peter Snowden, a horse called Bondi, who, you know, ran very well, ran second. The Group 1 is a two-year-old, and, you know, he looks exciting, and he's got bigger and stronger, and, you know, he's mature now, so he should be in for a nice three-year-old campaign.
And you're enjoying the role, travelling the world, working with all these amazing horses, I'm sure?
Yeah, it's busy, that's for sure. So there's always something going on north and south. So it's flat out, but, you know, it's enjoyable. You know, I get up every morning, enjoy going to work, so it's... there's something always happening, something to do, so we'll keep chipping away at it.
Do you get to spend much time back home in NZ?
Not as much as I'd like, but you know, I've been home for 3 weeks now, so it's in the middle of winter, but no, it's always good to get back home in New Zealand. It's a great place and see the family.
Michael, thanks for talking to us on the program this morning and for sharing the great memories you've enjoyed with Justify.
Appreciate it, Jo.
And that's Michael Wallace from the China Horse Club with the news this week of the retirement of the Triple Crown winner, Justify, after 6 starts undefeated. We continue the discussion around the retirement this week of the Triple Crown winner, Justify. And another big player in the story of this horse is Newgate Farms' Henry Field, who now joins us. How are you, Henry?
Great, Joe. How are you going?
I'm good, thanks. Well, tell us about the part you played in Justify's journey.
So we as a group buy a group of colts here in Australia every year for the last couple of years. It's been very successful, but like 10 or a dozen colts a year, I suppose. And from that, we ended up essentially with the same sort of partnership when we bought a group of colts in America. And Justify was one of the first colts that we bought over there. And, you know, the he was a horse that we identified not only as probably we thought he was the genuinely the nicest horse in the catalogue, but also the most likely horse to be a shuttle stallion should he make it on the racetrack.
And look what he's gone and done. They're quite remarkable.
Certainly didn't think he'd do what he did. Interestingly, as a yearling, he was a horse with incredible power, wonderfully strong forearm, a huge hip, and a very good mover, a very intelligent horse as well. But he looked quite mature, and when I saw him for the first time, I really felt he was a horse that would be a Royal Ascot 2-year-old. Scat Daddy has been so successful as a stallion with going to Royal Ascot with his juveniles and being so dominant. You know, the likes of Lady Aurelia, Wesley Ward takes Scat Daddy every year over to Royal Ascot. And he really struck me as that sort of physical, early coming, mature, very much an Australian type of a horse, and but he ended up growing and growing and growing to a horse that I must say he must be 17 hands, and I certainly wouldn't have envisaged him growing that big as a yearling, and as such he needed that extra bit of time, but it certainly paid off. He retired unbeaten, a Triple Crown winner.
Yeah, and you were there for one of his legs of the Triple Crown victories?
No, I wasn't. I was there for the Belmont, which was fantastic, and it was a very special day. The whole team with China Horse Club and Windstar and SF Bloodstock. It was a wonderful, wonderful team, the partnership that owned the horse, and it was just a very special day. We really had a great time, and it was certainly a weekend that we'll all remember. It was fantastic.
Yeah, where does this stack for you as a highlight in your life and career in the bloodstock world, Henry?
Well, I suppose I suppose the American Triple Crown is something which is so seldom won. So to have, you know, played a small part in the process of selecting Justify at the sale was something that, you know, I always cherish, and certainly. It was very special, and very special, you know, for my partners in Newgate, SF Bloodstock, Gavin Murphy and Catherine Donovan, who are Australians that moved to New York 30 years ago and have been so successful in New York and built SF Bloodstock into such an incredibly successful bloodstock operation. For them to have owned a Triple Crown winner, well, that gave me such a great feeling, because, you know, they've been so good to me. They've really taught me to be able to build Newgate to what it is today.
Wonderful achievement, Henry. And on the home front, how are things going at Newgate as we start to head into the breeding season? Busy times ahead.
Joe, yeah, really, really exciting. It's been a really busy few years. I still remember the first time you were at our first farm, and it's really grown from then. And we couldn't be more excited about seeing the first foals of Capitalist and Extreme Choice and Flying Artie and Wing Rupert in just a couple of weeks' time. We've got quite a few mares. Look like they're going to foal in very early August, so that's not far away. And, really can't wait to see them. But on a front, you know, the young stallions, Fox Wedge and Sizzling, are really ticking along very nicely. Sizzling in particular, done a great job the last few months. A couple of really, really smart horses. Obviously, the horse of Matt Dunn's that won in Sydney the other day. It's a very, very smart horse. I know leading syndicator Joy O'Neill's got a very, very good filly with Paddy Payne. And he's doing a great job. And, we can't wait to see the new foals by these young horses. And certainly Russian Revolution retiring. You know, it's been a wonderful coup for the farm. Incredibly exciting young stallion prospect, and owned by a similar interest to Justify. So, it's been great, Joe. Really, really, it's been great. Couldn't be more thankful of where we're at.
Yes, your stallion roster is ever growing. You're planning to, or hoping to, add a few more in the coming seasons or years?
Yeah, well, it's really hard to get them. The problem is, I suppose, it's, you know, to get the really proper Group One Australian horses, you know, they're very hard to get, and as we know, they've been so successful. The Australian Group One horses done in Australia. There's only two or three elite ones in every crop. So to get a Flying Arty or a Capitalist or an Extreme Choice, it's bloody hard work to get them, given there's so few around. And obviously, get off and have so many of them tied up already. But we'll be trying very hard to you know, buy the best stadium prospects we can find, buy the best yearling colts we can find, and develop them into stallions. And you know, so far it's been great. We've built a great artillery of young stallions, and hopefully it keeps building.
And you're only young, Henry. You've achieved so much already.
Well, yeah, no, I appreciate that. It's been great.
Do you feel young?
Yeah, no, I probably don't look young, but I'm only in my sort of early 30s, but I feel great. It's nice to put in, you know, it's just great. I suppose, like anything, like all of us in the thoroughbred business, we're so fortunate to be able to, you know, get up every morning and do what we like to do. I mean, we're very, you know, which whatever happens, I suppose, if we're lucky enough to be able to do what we love doing, we're all pretty fortunate, aren't we?
Yeah, absolutely. Well, thanks for talking to us on the program this morning, and we'll await with bated breath for the final announcements as to where Justify will be standing and the likelihood of him coming down under.
Yeah, well, it'll be very interesting, and certainly, you know, I'd say it's highly likely that he'll shuttle. So it's going to be quite exciting for Australian breeders next year.
Yeah, absolutely. That's Henry Field from Newgate Farm joining us on Talking Horses. Racing at Caulfield yesterday, and the opening event on the program was won by the Henry Dwyer-trained filly Wild Flyer. She's a two-year-old by Starcraft out of a Wildcat air mare, Wild Mia. Race two, over the 1,200 metres, won by Nigel Blackiston's three-year-old filly Lady of Flanders. She's a daughter of Viking Ruler, out of a charge-forward mare, Pass de Retreat. Race 3 on the program yesterday at Caulfield was a benchmark 78 over the mile. Darren Weir's Mantastic was too good. He's a four-year-old gelding by Fastnet Rock, out of a Galileo mare, Foreign Legionary. The fourth event was over the 1,200 metres, won by Chiavri. This six-year-old mare is by Teofilo, out of a General Nadia mare, Nova Gen. Related to winners Indiana Heart, Nova Spirit, She'll Have a Go, and That's All Gold. The horse was sold through the 2013 Magic Millions Adelaide Yearling Sales Session 2 for $44,000. Darren Weir to the fore again in the fifth event on the card over the 2,400 metres with Zedinator, a three-year-old gelding by Zed, out of a Grosvenor mare, Anne Bolan. The stayers did battle in race 6 on the program over 2,400 metres. David Brideoak's Self Sense Too Good, a 7-year-old gelding by Street Sense, out of a personal flag mare, Be My Person. Well, Self Sense is related to winners Ambitious Glory, Bulldozer, Perlite, Shy Light and Street Bell. The seventh event was the feature, the Bletchingley Stakes, at Group 3 over 1,200 metres. And Lindsay Park Racing's Vega Magic was the winner, a 5-year-old gelding by Lope de Vega, out of a Magic Albert mare, Admirable, related to winners Mireille and Vega Dior. The eighth event, Over the Mile, won by Darren Weir's Snitzpeg, a 3-year-old colt by Snitzel, out of a Fusaichi Pegasus mare, Pegasus Queen. Snitzpeg is related to winners Baumkuchen, Metallic Crown, Pegasus Miss and Queen Pin, and was sold at the 2016 English Premier Yearling Sales for $260,000. And the final event on the program at Caulfield yesterday was won by Patrick Payne's 5-year-old gelding Chamois Road. He's by Schwa Seer, out of a Model Man Mare Alpine Club, and was sold through the 2014 Magic Millions National Yearling Sales Select Session for $85,000. Shammy Road is a relation to a winner, Nozawa. That's a look back at racing at Caulfield yesterday. It's great to have Vin Cox, the Managing Director of Godolphin in Australia, as our special guest on Talking Horses this week. How are you, Vin?
I'm fantastic, thanks, Joan. What about you?
I'm great, thanks. How have your recent international travels been?
It was only a brief trip to England for a few days, a bit of a hit-and-run mission, but it was good to get up to Newmarket and meet the Godolphin team up there and have a few meetings and get a few things done. So, it was really good, very worthwhile.
Mm. How closely do you work on a daily basis with the international teams of Godolphin?
I wouldn't speak to them or get an email from them daily, but probably certainly three or four times a week there might be something come up that we need some clarity on or vice versa. They just get a question about what one of our horses is doing and more from a marketing point of view. Work fairly closely with Liam O'Rourke, who's the director of Stud Stallions and Bloodstock, and talking about matings for our broodmare band and about our stallions and when they're coming down and how we should be going about them, and obviously through the marketing team, marketing our horses, our stallions down here. So there's when you think about it, there's probably a fair bit of communication, but certainly not interfering in any way.
Well, it certainly makes it easy to market your stallions if they're getting lots of winners on the various international stages. And Darley Stallions in recent times have had 12 Group 1 wins across Australia, Hong Kong and New Zealand.
Yeah, I think it's 12 Group 1s in the Australian racing season this last season, which is a very, very good statistic. It's the best part of one in five Group 1 races. There's only 70-odd Group 1s in the country. And if you can win 12 of them, it's fantastic. So led up, obviously, by Winx, who's just an amazing superstar that she is, and by, unfortunately, the ill-fated Street Cry, who is no longer with us, but his legacy lives long and on through the deeds of Winx.
Mm, and so exciting to see her coming back for another spring campaign and likely tilt at the Cox Plate.
Won't it be something. Cox Plate Day with Winx running for a fourth Cox Plate, we just... The atmosphere will be extraordinary. Something that's obviously never been done before, and the Chris Waller and the owners, Peter Ty, Richard Troik and Deb Kapitis, they should be congratulated for keeping her going, keeping her sound, and obviously keeping her as a happy horse.
Mm. And how's the 2018 breeding season shaping for you and the team? A busy few months coming up.
Oh, it's a busy time of year for the nomination guys and the stallion guys. The season hasn't started quite yet. The stallions start working on September 1, but it's all in the nomination sales at this time of the year. And some horses have been filling very, very well and very quickly, and to the point that they are full. And others you've got to do a bit more work on. But it's that's the nature of our industry and the nature of and the fickleness of stallions. So the easy ones are easy work, and the hard ones you've got to earn your keep.
Mm. And what about on the racetrack, Vin? Of course, a lot of horses headed to spring back in the stables and being prepared for their early part of their campaigns at the moment. It's an exciting time of the year when they start to come back into the barns.
Oh, it is. It's fantastic. The big horses have been out trialling and working at the various sites that we have. Kemantar is probably our headline horse going forward. He's a very exciting horse, won the Randwick Guineas last season, son of Londro. And we're just arguing amongst ourselves as to whether we should take head towards the Everest or set him on a path towards the Cox Plate. And as we just said, going down the Cox Plate path has its issues in that you meet Winx at her sort of number one game. So we're not certain which way we'll step, but it's a nice position to be in. And Alizé, twice Group 1 winning mare at a mile at Randwick, she's back and work trialled last week. We're heading on an Epsom path with her and then down to Victoria for something like the Mire. We've got three interesting Northern Hemisphere horses that we've just trialled in the last few weeks in Home of the Brave that was raced by some Australian people when he was a young horse in Europe. We've got him down here now, and he'll be starting off in the Aurea Star on Saturday week, having won a trial very brilliantly about a week ago, two weeks ago. Best of Days, a promising mile and a quarter horse, a mile and a half horse that will start off in the next couple of weeks, and likewise Avilius has got a similar sort of profile. So those horses look pretty exciting, and but you know, this time of year it's sort of all about the Tyrolls and what you can unwrap and what might be amongst them. And with Our Babies by Brazen Bow and Shooting to Win and Hallowed Crown, it's an exciting time for those young horses from the point of view.
What's your early opinion of those young horses, Vin?
Well, they're all showing plenty in our stable. We bought 5 Shooting to Wins together with the ones we bred, and they're very, very precocious. We bought 2 Brazen Bows, and obviously to join up with the others that we've bred as well. The half brother to Osborne Bulls looks like he's a very, very promising colt. And the Hallowed Crowns, they won't be the early types, they won't be bouncing around in the breeders' plates or the gym cracks, but they are big, strong, strapping horses. Maybe more your later 2-year-old type, but again, James has got a particular opinion of one that we bought up from the Gold Coast in January. So there's enough there to work with.
And how are you enjoying the role in general now, Vin? You'd be well and truly settled into it all?
I wouldn't say settled. I'm not sure you ever get settled in any role. I'm really, really enjoying it. It's a fantastic team, a great organisation, and wonderful assets. The farms are spectacular. The training sites are wonderful, and the horses, the bloodstock, are the envy of anyone in the Australian breeding world. They're lovely horses, great people to work with, and great facilities. So you can't help but enjoy it.
And you certainly left a legacy at Magic Millions, Vin. They're celebrating what was a highly successful yearling sales and general selling season.
Yeah, it's been a massive, massive year for Magic Millions. The January sale was a record, the highest grossing sale ever conducted in the Southern Hemisphere for yearlings. So that was just fantastic for them. And I do miss them. It's a great young team. I'm still living on the Gold Coast. So I still see the team from time to time.
Very good. Well, lovely to catch up with you, Vin, and we'll look forward to talking to you over the coming months as we head into the business end of the racing year.
Absolutely, Jo. Thanks for your time.
That's Vin Cox, Managing Director of Godolphin Australia. Busy times for Riverbank Farm, where Russell Osborne and Dr. Caroline Duddy have done a good job building up a loyal client base and a busy stallion roster. And Russell is our guest on Talking Horses this morning. How are you, Russell?
Yeah, good morning, Jo. I'm very well, thank you.
So you've got Winx's half-brother, Boulder City, on the roster, and his announcement was recently. And also joining him this season will be the Caulfield Guineas winner, Anna Cheever.
Yeah, that's correct, yeah. So Boulder City's turned up, and he'll be the first son of a Stitzel to stand in Victoria. I think Thronham's the other one, but and so he'd be probably the first son of a Snitzel to stand under 10,000 anywhere, probably, actually.
And what's been the reaction to his arrival?
Yeah, we've had a real lot of interest, and he's a magnificent looking horse. Like he's just a standout horse. So everyone that's come to have a look at him have just been taken by him and have gone either booked one or two mares straight into him. So he is just rolling along quite nicely.
And obviously it makes him very promotable, the connection to Winx. Has that been easy for you to sell to the market?
Well, it's sort of a no-brainer. I mean, she's rated the greatest racehorse in the world, and if you consider how many horses are in the world, it's a fair achievement for us to be able to breed one in Australia and then to have the half-brother to that. And the standing at only $5,000 is sort of unbelievable, really.
Yeah. Did you decide to keep him in that reasonable fee brackets just to get things off and running?
Well, when we got approached, our main thing here, our niche, is we believe that there's a market for the breeding to race. And so we like to sort of be under that $5,000 service fee where just the average person can afford to come to us. We include all our vet fees, so you don't end up with a bad bad experience. And I think when they approached me with the horse, I sort of thought, well, you're priced out of where our market, where we want to head. And they sort of said, no, we'll go along with what you decide. So that's what we've come up with, that we think is a very fair and reasonable price.
Mm. And has he got solid bookings for this season?
Yeah, no, they're well underway. We'll probably try and cap him around the 100, just the first season, just to make it a little bit easier. And we're getting fairly close to the mark now. So if people are interested, need to jump in fairly quickly.
Mm, very good. And tell us the story about An Achiever and how he arrived at Riverbank.
Well, we were, my wife services Jeff Guest, who has bought the horse outright, his mares, and she got approached. They were trying to find a home for him, and we sort of, he's another one that fits into this category, that he's probably had his chance at the bigger times, and now he's a very nice breeding to race proposition, you know, so... We picked him up, and we're looking forward to that. We've got him late in the season, so he's not advertised a hell of a lot anywhere at the moment. So this year will probably be a bit quiet for him, but hopefully he'll gain momentum. His progeny are doing quite well, so he's another nice, exciting, and he's a very nice-looking horse. Like he's not overly big, but he's a very solid sort of horse. So, yeah, it's exciting times.
Mm. And he'll stand at a reduced service fee of $3,300.
Yes, and that includes the vet fee. So, and that's still negotiable. Like if you want multiple mares or anything like that, we can accommodate that.
Mm. And what else is making news on the Riverbank farm front at the moment, Russell?
Well, Von Costas are the ones that are he's churning out winners every week. So he's ticking along very nicely. We're very happy with him. His foals this year are probably the best I've actually seen by the horse. I don't know, I haven't got a reason behind it, but he's got some really, really nice foals this year, which are weanlings. And then we've got Skilled, who's he's producing quite a few winners coming through. And then we've got the old favourite in Redonte that... his strike rate's still running up above 60% winners to runners, and there's not a day go by that people aren't enthused by the Redontes, you know.
Mm. And Riverbank Farm, you've got a fantastic website. Tell us the story behind the farm and how long you've been involved now.
Well, my parents, Dorothy and Adrian, they set it up originally mainly as an adjustment racehorse adjustment farm, and we always sort of had the odd stay in here and there. And then my wife come along doing some veterinary, and I thought to myself, well, I can't afford vet fees, so I better marry Carolyn. So I've bailed her down. She's come over from Ireland. And so then we decided our dream was to be able to set up a breeding to race farm, and she does all the veterinary on it, and I try and take care of all the feeding of the horses.
Mm. Do you enjoy working together?
Yeah, no. Well, I have to say that because she's not. She's listening to me conversation at the moment. So, yeah.
You had to think about that, Russell.
Of course we do, Joe. Yeah, no,
I
it's all good.
It was a facetious question.
Well, by the end of the season, we can sort of, it gets a bit testy at times and that, but she gets very busy with her work and that, so we hardly see each other during the season, so we haven't really got much time for any blues.
Yeah, very good. Well, lovely to catch up with you. Wishing you all the best of luck with Boulder City, and good on you for giving An Achiever a good home for this season as well.
Yeah, no, we look forward to it, and thanks for your time. Thank you.
Absolute pleasure. That's Russell Osborne from Riverbank Farm, standing the half-brother to Winks of Boulder City for his first season this year for a fee of $5,500. And An Achiever, the Caulfield Guineas winner, will also be joining Boulder City on their roster. And that's all we've got time for on this week's edition of Talking Horses. Hope you enjoyed the program. Thanks to our special guests that joined us this week, Henry Field, Michael Wallace, Finn Cox, and Russell Osborne. Until next time, take care. Bye for now.